Grace, mercy, and peace to you and to all whom you love. This is a reading from John chapter 3 that I'd like to share with you, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, I tell you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said, "Are you a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things?" And then Jesus finished by saying, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." I'm sure you're familiar with all the debates about when life begins and when it ends. You've probably even been part of some of those discussions. I know as a child, I was fascinated with nature shows about animals who hibernated in the winter. They appeared to be dead, but were just hibernating. We've all seen science fiction movies that featured suspended animation. As people were put to sleep, they looked like they were dead, and then years later brought back to life. I saw an interview last week of a woman who was clinically dead and then revived. She said she was really confused. She didn't know how to really to react or what to feel. She didn't even realize that it all happened. And now we read that scientists are trying to use thousands of years old DNA from extinct animals to try and bring them back to life. Dead or alive? We're not always so sure, are we? And what really is the definition and the meaning and the purpose of life? That's a real question. A more practical issue, with some of the same confusion, rears its ugly head in our own lives as we struggle with guilt or issues that we try to hide or bury as if they were dead, as if we could forget them. You know, the memories of moments that we want to hang on to often fade away. We don't want them to die, and yet they seem to. We can't recall them. We wish we could remember what we've lost. You know, so much of life is conflicted with life that really isn't alive. And so much of life is full of surprises, of buried stuff that keeps coming back to life. So think about all that as you think about this encounter of Nicodemus, a religious teacher, in the Gospel of John, with his conversation that he had with Jesus, and his own confusion about what life really was. Nicodemus was a good guy. He was a man of faith. He was a leader of his village. He loved God. He tried to do the right stuff. But obviously, he often felt empty. He thought he had seen the light, but was burdened by all the shadows. That's why he went looking for Jesus. He was one of the most religious people in his village. He was fully alive. He was full of faith. But something was missing. He was intrigued by whatever it was that he had heard or seen about Jesus and his teachings about God's life and how it would change everyone who opened their hearts to his message of good news. Nicodemus was interested because something was missing. And the fact that John makes sure we know that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night, under the cover of darkness, was important to John. But it suggested that Nicodemus wasn't simply hiding for fear of being seen, but he literally was in the dark. He was trapped in his own shadows of confusion and doubt, as we often are. Nicodemus was full of the life of faith in God, but he hoped that Jesus might give him something that he felt was just beyond his grasp. Like we are so often, he was confused, literally. He was in the dark. Let's forget about Nicodemus for a moment and let's talk about you and me. How often are we troubled and trapped in a similar shadowy confusion? We want to do the right things. We want to love. We want to be loved. We want to understand God, but there's always a fear lurking in our lives that there's just something missing. There should be more. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed a breath of fresh life, fresh air in his lungs, a new birth, a new spirit, as if he could be born in a new way. Now, Nicodemus believed that if he kept all the rules as Moses had taught, that's enough. In the book of Deuteronomy, there's an instruction that all of the faithful people followed, saying that the faithful children of Abraham needed to remember the law, and suggested that they even tie a verse of the law on their forehead or write it over the doorposts of their house, or wrap it on one's arm. And so, following those laws, literally, righteous Jewish people took scraps of parchment or animal skin, and they wrote one of the laws or commands and literally nailed them to a doorpost or tied them to their body so they would keep looking at it and never forget. Well, Nicodemus had done all of that, but he wrestled with his life, that even though he thought he was doing all the right stuff, didn't feel fully alive. He followed the letter of the law, but there wasn't any life in it. Now, the intent of such guidance to the faithful was that they would never forget what God had shared. I mean, that was the whole point of writing it down, putting it on your doorpost, putting it on your arm, putting it on your forehead. I mean, the point was, don't forget. Don't let God out of your sight. Don't live without God. The point was very simple. The point was to take God's guidance, His laws, His promises, and ingest them, digest them, let them become fully part of who we are, so that they are part of everything we do in life. To love God, to love neighbor, that was the point of the law. It was more than just talking about stealing or murder or being faithful in marriage. It was about love. Loving God and showing that love by how we love each other. But just knowing or reading or looking or staring at those words doesn't always motivate people to live the love that is behind them. We know how that works. We often approach God in our own ways, in a similar darkness. We would really love more specific instructions for every situation, knowing exactly what God wants and knowing that if we do the right thing, God will give us what we want. We want to make sure that we're rewarded if we go to all the trouble of believing and following. For instance, don't we assume that remember the Sabbath means, okay, make sure you take 1 hour to worship every week. And yet what that law really meant was to take time to rest in God's presence. Put away your normal routines, your normal work, and just bask in God's love. Take time to let God communicate with you and touch you so that your faith and your weekly living is renewed and refreshed and nourished and blessed with God's love. Now, we take that 1 hour each week with family and friends. We go sit in a building. But we do that not to completely fulfill the law and say, good, we've done it. But it's to remember how to do it every hour of our lives that week. You know, it's like the difference between plunking notes on a piano or filling notes with passion and joy. It's like the difference between the monotonous recitation of words from a story or listening in Dolby surround sound. It's the difference between saying I love you and really meaning it and just saying I love you like I love pizza. When God breathes into our lives breathe with God. So, Jesus told Nicodemus it was time for faith to be his real life. He said you need to have a rebirth. You need to be born again, born anew, filled with something different. In that Greek word we translate again, to be born again, literally means to be born from above. Were born anew. What Jesus was telling Nicodemus was to just open your heart. Forget everything you think you know. Just open your heart so God's breath and love and peace would fill every moment of his life. That's what he meant when he said be born in a new way. And Nicodemus was so literal. He said, you mean I've got to re-enter the womb? I mean, even some Christians today don't get that. And they say, well, you keep needing to get baptized over and over again until it finally takes hold. You know, it's not just enough to keep from sinning. It's not just enough to say I'm not breaking any rules. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, and he tells us today, it's allowing the breath of God to give life to those rules, to give life to those words, so that how we live celebrates our oneness with God. You know, the point is, if we would love God and neighbor perfectly, we would never break any laws. If God's breath is what fills us, he will guide, he will strengthen, he will forgive, he will shine through us even if we don't know how or why. It's no coincidence in John's gospel that he chose to put this day in the life of Jesus right after the story of the wedding at Cana, which is really about not just turning water into wine, but God's marriage to us. God making himself one with us and the new life that comes out of that relationship. And if you're still hung up with that born again thing and what it means, well, just remember what would come years later as Jesus would suffer and die and be buried in a tomb, and many lost hope, and then he came back to life. The same holy breath that initiated creation, that filled the life of that baby in a manger, filled Jesus' lungs in the tomb, and a new life ensued. Actually, Nicodemus was right. Everything that has an earthly life must re-enter the womb and be born in a new way. But that womb is a tomb, and Jesus' death and resurrection bring the miracle of new life. That new breath of faith that fills our lungs brings daylight to darkness and new life out of old. Our time of hibernation is gone forever. This time of year we call Lent, it's a chance to catch our breath. Or maybe it's better to say to test our breath. Are we hibernating? Is our breath foul, like that of a sinful world? Are we in the dark? Jesus wanted Nicodemus and you and me to bury all of that earthly confusion in the womb of Calvary's tomb and allow God's breath of life to bring his life into ours. Here's some more words to think about all of this born-again stuff in a new way. A favorite author of mine is Fred Buechner. Here's something he wrote. He said, when you are with somebody you love, you have little, if any, sense of the passage of time. And you also have, in the fullest sense of the phrase, a good time. Well, when you are with God, you have something like the same experience. It doesn't mean you have to be thinking about being with God, or feeling religious, or sitting in church, or saying your prayers, though it might mean any of these. To say that a person is with it is slang for saying whether he's playing an electric guitar or just watching clouds roll by, he's so caught up in what he's doing and so totally himself while he's doing it that there's none of him left over to be doing anything else with the back of his head or out of the corner of his eye. Being with it may not, or may be the same thing as being with God, but it comes pretty close. Now, in the story of Lazarus that comes later in the gospel, remember Lazarus was raised from the dead, and then Jesus said, unbind him and set him free. That's what Jesus meant when he talked about a new birth and a new life. It's being set free, being born from God. The death wrappings are gone. In the womb of earth, Jesus' tomb, God's breath would restore what is lost. And his holy breath fills us with faith and hope and love in the same creative miracle that made the rings of Saturn and enables crickets to chirp and birds to sing. Our living and faith is all about surrendering to God and allowing his breath to fill our heart and our lungs. And then even what might appear to be useless or immovable comes back to life. So what are you breathing? What is the life that is keeping you truly alive? My mom was so much wiser than I ever understood at the time and had so much more love than I ever deserved. Her simple way of reminding me how this all worked was simply to tell me over and over again, remember whose you are. That was her way of reminding me to breathe what will keep me alive. It takes all the guesswork out of how I am to be faithful. It's all about God's breath being one and the same as mine. It's about His breathing life into mine.